We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Running Kobe White to the rim! Ooh. Miles Bridges!
Ooh. I'm sorry. Miles Bridges, how do you do?
How do you do?
Hum diddly dee with the dunk.
Andre Drummond knocked it free, and Torrey Craig!
Donovan is furious right now,
Drummond is hurt
after all that.
Man, you got to be kidding me.
If that wasn't the most emblematic possession of the Bulls season, I don't know what is.
Wow.
That was a great moment, and we are delighted, Molly and Haw here, to welcome in Adam Amin, the TV voice of the Bulls, and we are hoping for the best, Adam, tonight. I can't wait to get your take. How are things going, Adam? Welcome to the show.
Good to hear from you boys, as always, man. Everything's going well. We'll see. We'll see in a topsy-turvy year what kind of topsy-turvy game we're going to get.
Yeah, it's so funny because obviously we know Jimmy is out of this game. And playoff Jimmy is a thing. He hates it, but it is a thing, and he's earned a reputation. We know what happened last year. We know how good he was, and now he's not available. And you look at this game, and the Bulls played them okay this year, right? They split in the four games, and you would think there would be an advantage, and yet the fine folks in Vegas don't seem to think so.
Not shocking, right? The home team will get the favorite line, and Miami always has this tendency to be well coached because they have a really good coach. When they get to this time of year, you know, I think Eric Spoelstra might be one of the best X and O coaches in the NBA. I think he's right up there with guys like Nick Nurse, and you know, with the Popoviches of the world and with the Kerrs of the world. He's just a really heady guy. And he understands tendencies, and he understands exploiting weaknesses. And I just feel like he is right up there with some of the best. And they're always well prepared. And it's hard to prepare some nights for the Bulls because of how, you know, I know I've been using this word a whole lot in the last month, and I'm sure people are like, yeah, we get it, man. You read the dictionary, but mercurial to describe this team. And I feel like Spoelstra just has his team always ready to figure out what the Bulls are going to lean on any given night. And he's a really good adjustment coach. So I'm sure that's part of the reason why Miami is still favored in this game.
That's a great word to use, Adam. I agree with that. Mercurial for this Bulls team, which has played to its level of competition often throughout the season, a frustrating season. You mentioned Eric Spoelstra. They're going to adjust, I would think. They're going to see Kobe White with 42 points the other night. I wonder what that will do and how they'll defend him. What do you think the key is for the Bulls offensively? When will you know if this is going to be a good night?
I think if you're going to see early ball movement, because like you talked about, Miami does such a good job of trying to take away your strength, and they're such a well-coached defensive team, even without Jimmy Butler. So are the Bulls moving? You know, this is a team that when they look good offensively, they're a fun basketball team to watch and to call because the ball's popping off and the ball's moving. There's guys driving and attacking. And I feel like we saw that. We saw that for the most part. We saw a lot of attacking against Atlanta. Now, again, Atlanta is a very porous defense. They're very, they struggle at the point of attack. They struggle in on-ball defense. They struggle in one-on-one. So there are a lot of blow-bys. I don't know if it's going to be that easy tonight, because I just think Miami has better foot speed. I think they help they're better rotationally. Their help defense is just much better. So I get the feeling that if the Bulls are moving the ball early and you're seeing early player movement, that tends to be a really good sign for how this Bulls team is going to look over the course of at least for a half. You know, I'm hoping that that's the case, that they can establish a little bit of movement early and try to take advantage of some of the help tendencies that Miami always seems to show defensively. And this is going to be a physical game. You know, every time the Bulls have played the Heat, Stacey always points it out, Bill Wennington always points it out, Miami gets the reputation of being a great defensive team, and rightfully so, but they also play very physically. And they're going to get a little bit of a lighter whistle often. Again, I don't know how it's going to be officiated tonight. When you get to this point of the year and the way we saw in the last week and a half of the season, officials were swallowing the whistle a little bit more, almost as if they were preparing for playoff basketball. Because again, as we know, when you get to this point of the year, the games are much more physical and they're called and officiated as such. So if Miami's playing physically, the Bulls have to take advantage of a little bit of ball movement and player movement. They have to get past some of the lines of defense that this Miami team is so known for, and how physically they play is going to be a factor in this game.
So a year ago, you know, the Bulls win a game and then they get to the Heat. We were having a conversation how we believed after that first game, wow, there's been a changing of the guard. It's now Zach LaVine's team, and what is he going to do in the second game? And well, he didn't do much, and it was DeMar that was the guy that kept him in that game for a while, and then they just kind of stopped at the end of the game, and Miami gets through them, and obviously we know what happened then. Here we are, Bulls going to Miami. Coby White is coming off a career high for his performance against Atlanta. As you say, totally different step up in defense. I would imagine that Coby is going to have a more difficult time. What do you need to see from him to feel like the Bulls can win this game?
Well, can he be the playmaker then? You know, if he's not, if it's going to be harder for him to be a scorer against a better defense in Miami tonight, is if it's going to be harder for him to get some blow-bys, if it's going to be harder for him to, you know, penetrate, if it's going to be harder for him to probe defenses, can he be a playmaker? Can he set other guys up? You know, and there are nights where I do get the feeling that Coby has figured out, or at least has better sense for when to be a scorer and when to be a playmaker. This is one of the reasons that you do like having a strong combo guard in that role, in that lead guard role. And again, I know a lot of different guys have been handling the ball. They played Coby off the ball at various points this season. And obviously we saw that a little bit the other night where, you know, DeRozan would control a little bit, et cetera. I feel like for him, can he be a playmaker if the shots either aren't falling or he's just not able to get them the way he was getting them in all these blow-by situations? And obviously he's expanded his range. He took that deep three against DeJounte Murray because he, you know, I think he gave him a little bit too much space, and Coby was probably a foot or two behind the three-point line, maybe a little further, and just took a deep three and knocked it down. If you know, those shots aren't falling, or he's not getting that same blow-by you know, consistently tonight, then you got to be able to get to be a playmaker. And again, we go back right back to ball and player movement, right? This has been a problem for the Bulls. If they become a stand around team and a watch team that just watches, you know, either DeRozan or White or whomever, you know, try to operate in isolation, this is going to be a team that's going to struggle in efficiency, and you cannot have an inefficient night against a Miami team. I think they're third in scoring defense this year. I think they give up like 108 a game. The league average is like 114, 115. So he's got to be able to get a feel for the game early. And if it is a night where he has to be more of a playmaker than a scorer, then he's got to be willing, and he's got to put himself in position. And the guys around him have to help him out and move around and get the spots on the floor to allow some of these passes to get through and to get easier baskets. Because their three-point shooting is so up and down. I never have any idea how they're going to be behind the three-point line. And as we know, they're not a high-volume team. They only made 11.5 a game this year. They made 11 the other night against Atlanta. They held Atlanta to 11 made threes, and that was part of the reason that they were in control for a good chunk of that game.
So with Jimmy Butler out, likely rookie Jaime Jaquez will start in place of him. I do think that's probably an advantage Bulls, but he's also a pretty good defender. So I look at the other matchup. I wonder, Tyler Hero had 25 against the Sixers. He's going to get more shots and look for more opportunities tonight. He can get hot. He is a high-volume three-point shooter. You know that. How do you think the Bulls counter defensively? Alex Caruso looks like he could try it. You expect him to do that because he's a gamer, but he's also compromised. Or is it going to be Io, who is, you know, the guy who is the Trae Young slayer, and he's the guy who did the job the other night and certainly could be up to the task. What do you think the Bulls will do defensively against Hero?
I mean, you have to get in his space. You know, that's the biggest thing. And that's a big thing with multiple guys for the Heat, right? That's the thing with Duncan Robinson, who didn't play the other night. You know, he's missed a handful of games. I was a little surprised. I didn't know if there was an injury issue or what, but it looked like it was a coach's decision. But, you know, you have to get into his airspace. I don't think it's been a typical Tyler Hero season, I would say, you know, just in terms of kind of up and down. He's been hurt a lot of the season. I think he missed half the year, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think he played – I think he missed all four games against the Bulls this season. So, you know, his injury issues were pretty apparent over the course of the year. You have to get into his airspace. There is no question. And I think Ayo, you mentioned Ayo, David. I think the biggest thing with him is he has a tendency to really be physical with guys who are a little bit smaller. And that's part of the reason that he's been so successful against Trae Young. So I think it was 8-2 or 9-2 or something now in his career against Trae Young. Like, he's just so physical and he's lengthy and he's got, you know, deflection ability when he's playing on the ball defensively, and he's gotten stronger this season. I think that's one of the reasons I feel like his jump has been so impactful this year. So I think on the defensive end, his physicality and his length at the point of attack have really helped. So you have to get into his airspace. Yeah, Caruso's, assuming he's going to play, like, he'll be right there. But Caruso's going to be busy helping. He's going to help on Bam Adebayo at multiple points of the night over the night as well, I'm sure. So I think it's up to Ayo to be physical and to get into the space of Tyler Hero. We saw that at the end of the game against the Sixers, against Philadelphia, when Batum came over and closed out that airspace for that final block. Like, that was a big deal to just get into Hero. You know, he did not have a great shooting night. I think he was 4 of 14 the other night, and he made 9 shots and took like 25 or 26 shots over the course of the night. And a lot of that was made difficult by what Philadelphia was doing defensively with their length. And obviously he didn't have a great shooting night. I don't expect him to have just a terrible shooting night, but you have to make it a tough night on him by getting into his space, being physical. Don't foul. You know, the Bulls at their best are good at closing out the 3-point line. But I think that was the biggest factor during the season, is closing out the 3-point line. You know, I mentioned that Atlanta game and how the Bulls made about 11.5 threes a game this season. And I always looked at, all right, well, if the Bulls are only as a low volume 3-point shooting team are only making 11.5 a game, what are their numbers when they hold teams to 11? And what are the numbers when teams hit 12 or more? And I think they're 21-4 this season when they hold teams to 11 made threes or fewer. Like, that's a wild number to win 21 out of 25 games when you actually hold a team to 11 threes or less. And then the winning percentage is under 40. When they give up 12 or more. So that's a story for the season, and that's a story for tonight, especially when in regards to Tyler Hero.
Yeah, I think that when you think about, you know, having a guy like Kevin Love come in off the bench, the only fear of that is that he can get hot from three-point land, right? And he's a big guy who's open. You got to make sure that there isn't – if you're defending the three-point line to the point where there isn't some weird – event that occurs where somebody comes in and hits 5 or 6 of those things.
I just feel like that, you know, role players are, I said this on the pregame show the other night with the guys, like, in postseason play, details, like being focused on your details on the defensive end of the floor, is what takes opposing role players out of a game, right? Like, certain players like a Jimmy Butler, who, again, like, if he were playing, like, we'd be having probably having a different conversation.
Right.
But, like, players like Butler, who are just so capable of overtaking a game offensively, like, sometimes you just have to – you can have a great defensive game plan, and those guys are just going to do what they do. Like, they're special players. And like you said, I think playoff Jimmy is also a real thing, even though he might not like it. He's always delivered, you know, this time of year, especially over the last 5 years. So – that you give credit to those types of players. You go, all right, well, Jimmy scored this, or Jason Tatum did that, or Jalen Brunson did this, whatever, you know, whoever the star might be. But detail-oriented defensive game planning and execution is what takes guys like Kevin Love, or takes a Duncan Robinson if he plays, or You know, it takes a Caleb Martin or a DeLon Wright. You know, it takes those guys out of the game because they're hoping for mistakes. Role players are hoping for you as a defense to make a mistake so that they can exploit whatever disadvantages that you have and whatever advantages you've given them. So if you're focused on details when guys come into games, when you're focused on scout, when you know exactly what this guy is capable of doing off the bench and you take that one or two things, you know, those one or two things away, that's what takes role players out of games. And the Bulls struggled with that last year, right? Like Max Strus went off.
Yep.
That hurt. That hurt the Bulls significantly. Obviously Butler had a great game, but I don't think anybody was really thinking, well, Max Strus is going to go up for 31 and he did. And the Bulls were really bad in terms of details. Like, you know what this kid does. He comes in off the bench, shoots threes and makes them and plays tough defense. So, you know, again, I don't think Miami is going to have as easy of a time without Jimmy Butler because they're not as deep as they were last year. But those details are what takes those other players out of a game.
Enjoyed your stint on the pregame show on NBC Sports Chicago. Missed you on the broadcast, obviously, for network reasons. It wasn't on NBC Sports Chicago. You were there as a fan. You were in the building when it became a special place, and it can be. And it just indicates how hungry this fan base is for something of that means something, of significance. What was it like to be there in a very different role?
It's been a long time since I've been in that role and just sat in a seat and watched the game. And I think I was sad actually that I wasn't calling it because the energy was so heavy, you know, and it became that place that you were just talking about with, you know, a little bit of, I would imagine a little bit of nostalgia in your voice and a little bit of, you know, a thought of the halcyon days of when this team was a consistent playoff contender. And again, this city deserves to see it, you know, because of the standard that was set a long time ago now. Like, it's more than 30 years now at this point and a quarter of a century since the last title. Like, those moments have been fewer and far further between lately. And I think this is a city that deserves to have a team that's at least competitive in the playoffs. So I would love to see them win. Oh, you know, we wouldn't do game one in Boston because of network things, but you know, we'd be back for game two. And then next, I think Saturday would be game three. Can you imagine a Saturday night at the United Center for a playoff game? Like that seems like that's the type of atmosphere that would scare a number one seed that's won 60 games, like a Boston team. You know, the Bulls have played tough games at home. They do feed off of a lot of the energy in that building. And you got that sense, especially at the end of the first quarter, especially in the third when they started to make the run and definitely in the fourth when they started to put it away, you got that feeling again. And I mean, it is a dangerous playoff atmosphere when you have a hungry fan base. And I think that's what this city deserves to see. They deserve to see more, you know, moments like that and experience more nights like the one we saw the other night against Atlanta.
This is such an opportunity for the Bulls. Not only do you have this game, but Jimmy Butler's not there, and that would seemingly be to your advantage. Everyone is, well, it doesn't matter. You wind up with Boston. But, I mean, wouldn't that be good for the city? As you say, the crowd will go crazy. I don't know if they'll be there all night, but I want to see it. I want to see the Bulls take advantage of that opportunity, and then – again, it doesn't look good, but who knows? Who knows what? Because when you judge this season, you're going to be kind of, well, you know, can they win an actual series? Then you'd say it's a success. But hell, get there.
Yeah, get there. And listen, I'm with you, and I've said this. I think I said this on the final game of the regular season. Like, is this an underachieving team this year? Yeah, you know, this is not a team based on talent that should be a 40-win, a 39-win team. But I also give them a lot of credit because they looked dreadful those first 19 games, and then the injuries happened. And you know, I was one of the people that was worried. You know, I'm like, oh boy, well, if they've struggled this much and now you're without, you know, a key piece in Zach LaVine, and then 2 months after that, he gets, you know, he re-aggravates an injury. And then a week after that, in late January, Patrick Williams goes down. Like, of course, I try to be a realist more than anything else. So I look at this team and I go, well, what are they going to do? So, but even to get to this point, I do think is impressive. Is it a success? Probably not, because I do think the fans have higher expectations than that. But if that's the start to your season, 5-14, and if those are the injuries that you suffer, where LaVine and Williams, who, again, for their up and down nature, and for, you know, especially Patrick Williams, for the up and down play that we've seen, like, the fact is those are two really talented guys and really important pieces and two really good basketball players and two guys that the guys on this team really seem to like and rally around and encourage. So for them to play the way they did the second half of the year and to even be in this position, I do think you have to give some credence to the coaching staff and to these players, and, you know, give a nod to the front office as well for bringing a player like Javonte Green back and recognizing that, you know, a player like that who is grinding through the G League deserves to have another opportunity because of what he brings to the organization and what he brings to this roster. Like, I give them a lot of credit for that because it's hard. It's hard to win in the NBA. We've had five different champions in the last 5 years. It's the first time since the 1970s that there hasn't been a repeat champion in a five-year period. This is a hard league to win games. We're talking about the Nuggets potentially being eliminated, even though the whole year, the whole discussion was, well, they're going to repeat. They're going to repeat. And I'm sure they're liable to do so. They're certainly capable of it.
Yeah.
But I think as hard as it is to win in this league, I give this team a lot of credit for getting to this point. Is it where you want to be? Of course not. You don't want to be an 8 seed or be in the eight seed game fighting for your playoff lives. But this is where the Bulls are. And if you're there, if you're here, make the most of your situation. Try to make the playoffs. Get some opportunities to maybe shock Boston for a game or two and see what happens.
Great stuff, Adam. Thank you.
Appreciate Thanks, Adam.
It. Appreciate it. Thanks.
That is Adam Amin. That's fun.
Very talented guy.
Yeah.
Going to see him soon on MLB baseball. On Fox. He'd be doing football.
He might
the fall.
Be doing baseball next week if he's not doing the Bulls series.
Next Saturday, he'll either be doing, some sort
a
of Bulls baseball
home
game
or a baseball game.
I think it will be a Bulls home game. I think the Bulls win tonight and force the series in Boston beginning on Sunday, and then that'll be fun, even though it will be inevitable, but it will be fun in inevitability.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, I'm definitely counting it. I'm just so grateful, you know, about the progress that I put in and work's finally showing, the opportunity that I was given by this organization, and I just wanted to capitalize and take advantage of it. So I'm so grateful, man. I'm so thankful to be in this position. And, you know, we got another one Friday, so we got to enjoy this one, but we got to push and make this playoff run. So I'm just grateful, man.
Welcome back. Mullin Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Kobe White, career high 42 points, addressing the crowd after that one Wednesday night. Will be much tougher tonight against the Miami Heat. The Bulls playing for a chance to advance. Winner gets the Celtics. Don't know if that's a winner or the loser. They go into Boston Sunday. I think that's the early game if they win. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but if the Bulls are able to beat the Heat tonight in Miami, I think they play Sunday noonish.
Well, as long as it's not the late game.
It's not the late game. There will be no sleep deprived. There will be no sleep lost. Maybe a nap. Maybe a good halftime nap. But anyway, the Bulls go into Miami tonight and they play more than a team. I think they're taking on a culture. If the Heat are able to overcome the loss of the absence of Jimmy Butler, who will not play tonight with an MCL issue, it will be because they found other people to rise up. Maybe it will be people you don't expect. They always have somebody. They always have somebody. Check the Heat roster. Who's the 10th guy? Who's the 11th guy? Who's the guy getting 9 minutes a game? You know, somehow they'll get some quality minutes from that guy tonight. They do more with less. Eric Spoelstra finds a way. If the Bulls lose tonight, it will be something they deserve, but it will be likely because they run into Heat culture they can't overcome. I don't know what the Bulls culture is. This year it has been frustrating. It has been mercurial. Adam Amin, nice word. Good vocabulary he has. But if the Bulls are losers tonight and their season ends, it will be no surprise to many people who have paid attention And it will be disappointing because it will be them squandering an opportunity.
Heat culture is a real thing. You're absolutely right. And a lot of teams talk about culture, but they have an enviable one, and not like, you know, some kind of, you know, Ted telling you that everyone envies our culture. Do we have the quarterback? No. They got a superstar. He's not available, but they're going to play hard. They're going to be there. They're going to be in this game. I don't care who's available or who isn't. And the Bulls should win the game, but are they going to?
They should win, and I think a lot of conversation tonight will be around the absence of Butler. And if the Heat lose, I think that will even be louder in Miami. A question that you wonder about, Adam Amin addressed a little bit. The injuries to players in this play-in games, the extra layer that you have to kind of pass through to get into the real playoffs, Zion Williamson's out for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
The Bulls maybe lost Alex Caruso. He's compromised tonight because of an injury on Wednesday night. Certainly we
dumb
saw
injury.
Well, it was a
not,
dumb injury.
Not on his fault, but it was dumb.
No, but it was an injury nonetheless, and Jimmy Butler comes down and he gets in a tangled up and he doesn't play. He plays, but now he's unavailable. And I wonder if the league looks at this as, hey, look, the play-in tournament gives all these cities a chance and hope, and it's like the equivalent of the baseball wild card, the expansion to the playoffs, and that you open up the door a little bit wider to that postseason berth. At the same time, are these just acceptable risks that teams are willing to take? Is that just part of the game that you understand? Because I bet you the Pelicans aren't happy about not having Zion Williamson tonight. And I know the Heat are unhappy about losing Jimmy Butler the way that they lost him. It's an extra game, yeah. They would not have been playing it. They were playing it because of the play-in game. They had made the playoffs.
Right.
They were the eighth seed, correct?
Yeah.
It's 8-7. So if you're in the playoffs, you have to play an extra game to play an extra game, and you lose your best player, the guy who makes your playoffs relevant in your town. They would have to be ticked off.
Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Mickey is in Park Forest. Hey, Mickey.
Good morning, guys. I love the show. I just like to stick up for Zach LaVine a little bit. He seems to be the whipping boy for everything. Zach was the face of the Bulls until DeMar came along. DeMar plays no defense. It was a black hole with his isolation. As soon as Zach got hurt, they changed the way they played. That wasn't Zach's fault. And it seems like everything that is Zach's fault. You mentioned this morning that he had a poor game last year, the second game.
Yeah.
But you didn't mention that he had a great game the first game.
Well, I did mention that. I said that was the changing of the guard game where we wondered if it was now his team as opposed to DeMar's and that he was making this and that it didn't happen. And I was comparing it to Kobe. I don't think anyone is sitting there here saying it's now Kobe's team because he scored 42 against Atlanta. And I think a lot of people would imagine that it's going to be difficult for him to repeat those numbers against Miami because they'll defend him differently.
Yeah, I think that conversation happened the last year because of not only the game that Zach had in the first play-in game, but because of the salary that he has.
Exactly,
and
right.
The contract that he has and the expectation that comes with those numbers. I do think it has become convenient for the Bulls to point to some of the modest success that they've had since he's been out and say, look at us now. Look at them now. Look how fast the ball moves. Look how quickly they find the open man. They don't have a black hole in their offense. And I wonder about that. I don't think that Zach LaVine, for instance, while we're looking at players who might be detriments, even though they're well paid, I don't think Zach LaVine is as bad for the Bulls as Trae Young might be bad for the Atlanta Hawks. I think that when you look at, and we tend to lump those guys together because they're not considered quote unquote winning players in the NBA. So I'm glad that Zach LaVine still has his defenders out there. It's going to be harder to defend moving forward. Because I think they're going to try to trade him in the offseason, regardless of what happens tonight.
He's fairly irrelevant now, Zach LaVine. No offense to anyone. But Zach LaVine was here. They thought he was a max player. He didn't live up to that contract. And that's where you're at right now. And so Zach LaVine will probably be moved on from, and they will probably change their team, not because he's a bad guy, but because that he didn't earn the amount of money he's making, and it's hard to be the kind of stymied in the salary cap era by a guy who isn't earning the salary that you're giving him.
Well, yeah, and you're going to want to move on, I think, philosophically after this year. It's be difficult, but though not impossible, and it is the Bulls, so everything is plausible, but it would be not recommended. I would not recommend them to run it back and to embrace the status quo. They're capable of doing that.
They're definitely capable. Whereas
we've seen it before, and this is entertaining dinner theater for the basketball crowd at the United Center, so they are just good enough because everybody wants to go see the Bulls play. They're never going to have an attendance issue. They even drew people when they were really, really bad. The Jim Boylan era, the remnants of the end of the Hoiberg era, those were hard to watch, and people showed up anyway. It's a loyal fan base. It's time to reward that fan base with some meaningful basketball. That's why even though tonight, if they win, it won't mean as much as some people will exaggerate it to mean, but it will be something. It'll give us two more games in Chicago. It'll be a playoff series, and at least they can say they made the playoffs the real way. Not the play-in. Play-in's kind of like, eh. It's not really. It's artificial playoffs. It's the preseason to the postseason. And it's not really making the playoffs.
We're not going to deem them a success if they just get through two play-in games, one in which the star of another team is injured before the game.
I don't think it'll be a success, but for instance, I think you can say it was a playoff season. It's much different than you can say right now.
That's fair.
It's probably semantics and splitting hairs, but I do think that if you're looking at next year, this summer, when we're referencing this free agent that they signed, we can say, well, he's coming back to a playoff team. Right now, I don't feel like that's the case. They win tonight, they're a playoff team. And that's how they could be referred to by, you know, free agents that join them or new players that they are traded, that they trade for. They get a chance to make the playoffs for real tonight.
And you like them in the game.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win. They will be they'll find a way to get this done. I'm not sure it will be pretty. I think that they'll probably, against the Heat, are going to want to grind it out. They are grinders even with Jimmy Butler. Without him, they will try to grind it to a screeching halt, and it will be physical. It will may even be a little sloppy, but I do think the Bulls find a way. DeMar DeRozan in the fourth quarter. Kobe White gets probably not going to get 42. He could get 25.
That's all he needs.
25 from Kobe, 29 from DeMar. You get meaningful minutes from Io, who does a great job on Tyler Hero. And you don't let Kevin Love recapture some of his past glory because they're going to need him to. You neutralize Bam with a little bit of Andre Drummond, and Vooch gets his double-double, and you're laughing at the end. You win by five.
If the Bulls, if I told you that the Bulls are getting swept and they won't be within 20 points of Boston over four games, would you still want to make it?
I think you're always wanting to get into the playoffs. So the question is, would you rather them win and get swept or lose and go home? I want to win and get swept.
Okay.
You always want the extra basketball. You always want the experience.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the difference with this playoff series, the Boston Celtics are as sure a thing as there is in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They're the one team, if you're going to bet on anyone, if I said to you, free bet on anyone, you'd take Boston because they're most likely going to win
it. In the East,
yes, in the East.
In the East, there's no doubt about it. That's the biggest challenge for any team. The Bulls can benefit from that experience, though. You look at big picture, and for the players who will be here, the next time the Bulls are valid and legitimate Eastern Conference contenders, for the players that will still be here, Io Desunmu, Kobe White, maybe DeMar DeRozan, maybe, and he doesn't need the experience.
No.
Dalen Terry was a sixth man the other day.
He actually
shocker.
He's been having a
shocker
decent year, considering.
For those young players, youngish players, this next series, if they win tonight, is invaluable in their growth. That's what matters, and that's what good organizations do. They don't overstate the significance of getting to the playoffs, and it won't mean that the season was a fully a successful one, but it will provide an opportunity for your young players who are headed somewhere on their ascension to have that kind of experience, even if it's a bad one. You can learn from bad experiences. Failure is the true method of finding success. You've got to fail first, and the Celtics will give them every opportunity to do that quickly.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. We're going to talk to Lawrence and Layla in today. We'll get a chance to speak to them next, find out if they find any value in a playoff appearance for the Bulls, not a play-in, playoff.
There's a difference.
And we'll discuss it with them when we return. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Playoffs!
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.